Hello and welcome to DigiListen, a weekly podcast about digital service delivery for the voluntary sector. With the sudden impact of coronavirus, charities, community groups, social enterprises and voluntary organisations of all sizes are shifting their service delivery into digital and remote channels. We've been hosting online weekly chats with folks from all kinds of charities, experts and people in the front line about what they're learning and how charities can make use of digital to reach people more than ever before. I'm Ross McCulloch, Director of Third Sector Lab, and I'm joined by Maddie Stark from the Scottish Council for Voluntary Organisations. This is a special roundup episode where we're going to be reviewing everything that we've been doing during this first season of DigiShift. So I think we've probably done about 30-odd, nearly 40 calls by now, Maddie, is that about
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been absolutely tons. So I guess when we started this, the calls were pretty huge. We had the numbers into the kind of pretty high hundreds of people joining us, and people really just desperate to kind of understand how they can switch their services to online, and just some amazing best practice from across the third sector throughout these calls. I thought it'd be worthwhile just chatting through some of the kind of key themes that we've spoken about and just rounding some of this stuff up. And just say the stuff that we're talking about today, all of this is available on the SCVO website. So there's some really good blog posts in there and toolkits and guides. So if you Google SCVO DigiShift or you just go to scvo.org.uk, you'll be able to find those really easily. And as always, we've gathered up loads of good examples of digital service delivery on the Third Sector Lab website at thirdsectorlab.co.uk. So probably the big one when we started out, people were, first of all, just really confused about remote working and what that looked like. I think we spent a lot of those initial sessions talking about Zoom and talking about the benefits of Zoom or not the benefits of Zoom. And actually, Zoom came up quite a lot throughout those initial ones. And I don't know if you've got any thoughts now, Maddie, on that, because it feels like it's just a ubiquitous part of how people operate now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And I think one of the key things was that there was a bit of a panic or a fear around when we're doing things face-to-face that it is so different from when we're moving things onto Zoom. And one of the, I suppose, certainly for me, was the reassuring things that we were trying to say was there's risks when you do things just when you're doing face-to-face, and there's risks when you move things onto Zoom. So risks are still there, they're just a little bit different. And it's making sure that as long as you've got those and you understand what those are, then that's fine. And there was kind of a panic around every Zoom call should be recorded.
Yeah.
And what we were saying was, well, if you're doing a one-to-one in an office, you're not recording that. So why would you record the Zoom call? So kind of just getting people to take a bit of a step back and to think about what are they actually doing and how they're doing it. That was quite key for me, because that came up really early on, and time again, it was just that kind of panic and fear, which was understandable, I think, at the time.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We've got on the DigiShift section on the SCVO site, there's some really good stuff. If you're still thinking about, you know, how do we make remote working more interesting, particularly now that this is just a fixed part of workplace culture. And there's a really good post on Beth Cantor's kind of top tips and some really good stuff on virtual meetings and managing remote teams. And John Fitzgerald, who is often on the podcasts and who is on pretty much every DigiShift call with us, has got top 10 remote working tips in there as well. So some really good stuff in there. I think one of my highlights, I mean, other than the Beth Cantor call, was Bruce Daisley, mm-hmm. and he was joined by Ali Hunter, but talking about workplace culture and staff wellbeing and remote working. And actually, I think it's arguably more important now than it's ever been, because we're seeing this big push to try and get people back into workplaces, and that's obviously kind of quite patchwork across the country as well, depending on where you're listening to this. But yeah, I think we're at this kind of big shifting point where we haven't had this very much a blended mm-hmm. culture, where a lot of it is now going to be online, and people really need to rethink what workplace practices look like, rather than it being kind of very on the hoof and just adapt as we go now.
There's a new phrase that's coming out, hybrid working as opposed to remote working. So that's quite an interesting thing to look out for in the future, is what is hybrid working? So hopefully this time next year we'll all know what that is and we'll all be doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the other big topics that stood out for you then?
I think the service design was a big one. We did a few calls over and over around service design, from having Lou Downs on it to having Scott Government on it to having Snook on it, and even ourselves. We really covered the bases, I think, with service design and have a lot of information out there. And that was more around helping people understand the basic principles of service design and thinking around that we are all a service. We, some organisations, even though we won't do what I would call frontline service delivery, like us at SCVO, we don't do that, we still provide a service to our members. So we are, we can still do service design, if you like. And that was really key that came out, was actually recognising that we are all service delivery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, I guess a couple of kind of basic key things to help organisations think about this stuff is just, when we're talking about service design, we're talking about designing services. So you're all doing it, whether it's in a kind of very structured way or whether it's in a very haphazard way. Every organisation is designing services. And I think that point you made where we're trying to get people to think about everything they do as a service. So if you're a member-based organisation and you're all entirely office-based and you don't actually deliver a one-to-one service to a beneficiary in that classic charity way, you're still delivering a service. And that those kind of, some of those simple concepts that kind of came out time and time again. And we've been really lucky when some of the speakers that you mentioned, but people like Tom Norman at Bernardo's Innovation Lab, Kat McCauley, who, you know, has pretty much pioneered the use of service design within the Scottish Government, Ben Holiday at Future Gov, and people like Liam Hinshelwood at Snook as well. And just that, I guess that theme of service design, which has run through a lot of our calls, whether we've called them that or not. So things like flexible and no-code technology,
yeah.
You know, that I guess that point where we're trying to get across with that is that it's more important to focus on the users and their needs and how they're living their lives. And actually that's where you should be able to invest in a lot of your time rather than thinking, we all know that stuff. And actually where we need to invest the time and the money is just, we'll just build a thing. Mm-hmm. And actually we see that happen, it rarely works well. So when we're thinking about servicing, we're not thinking about it as a thing that you do in isolation and then you go and procure a digital product, but actually it needs to be something that runs through everything that you're doing. And there's some really good resources that we've got, and you can go back and listen to some of the previous podcasts. If you're on Spotify or if you're on iTunes just now, you can check out some of the service design episodes that we've done. There's also some really good videos on SCVO YouTube channel. The other thing, we speak about Lou's book quite a lot, but that kind of 15 things list that's in the Good Services book is just invaluable. So when we're thinking about how do you demystify service design, how do you put it in practice, then Lou's book for me is the one that everyone should be reading. Content design also came up. We're really lucky to be joined by Sarah Richards from Content Design London. And Sarah was, you know, part of the team that kind of really revolutionised how the gov.uk website worked and the kind of content strategy that underpinned that. Any kind of key standout lessons learned or things that you got from that call with Sarah?
I think it was the phrase I learned was evergreen content. So that was about using what we already have, but making the message clearer or smarter, I think was the phrase that was there. So not to continue to just keep producing content, but actually to look at what content is working, what are people engaging with, how can we kind of make more of the stuff that people are engaging with. And it really linked with a lot of the work that was coming out of the service design section as well, was that idea about it is all about the users, it's putting user needs first, and content isn't about us giving information, it's about people coming to us, and it's a two-way conversation, I suppose. And that was one of my key things, was about don't just fire out content, actually take a step back and think about how can we use this better and how can we make it more fit for purpose.
Yeah, and I think we've seen quite a big shift over the last few months where people have really given thought to that content as it sits on their site. And, you know, a lot of charities have been forced to do that because people can't come into the office and get that information the traditional ways that they would all. So I think we've seen a really positive, sizable shift in terms of how charities are using digital content. And again, just if you're interested in those, the video, the podcast for that is available on the SCVO website. And there's a really nice, actually, blog post from Beth at SCVO, which is about not more content, but smarter content, how to produce content that meets user needs. So that one for me is worth reading. Another book recommendation, so Sarah Richards' book, which is just simply titled Content Design. I think it's about a tenner. And that for me is just, you know, anyone who's working on content design for charities, whether it's your job or whether it's just a small part of what you do, should be reading that book and using that as the kind of structure and the way to underpin what content looks like on your site. Okay, any other key themes that came out for you, Maddie?
I think one of the biggest ones that came up time and time again was the building communities online. And again, actually thinking about how do we do that when discussions around isolation and loneliness, and actually how do we make that human connection, which was really interesting. And one of the first ones we had was with, is it Jen Rankin from Skyscanner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was it, I think it was Torben, it was the Edinburgh coronavirus support who'd been set up specifically and were running a community, but didn't actually necessarily recognise that that's what had happened to them, was that they were running this online community. So that was really interesting for me. I think if anybody's interested, that's episode 5 in one of our podcasts. And it was understanding that it's very similar to when we're doing it out physical in the community to what we're doing online. It's thinking about, what are we doing? What are we attempting to do? It and just keeping those connections going. So keeping that contact as regular as we like, but it takes a little bit in the beginning to set it up. Mm-hmm. So if we're using Slack or we're trying to do things on Zoom, however we're doing, that maybe just takes a little bit more effort in the beginning to get it up and running. And once you've got there, that kind of short-term investment, then we'll reap the rewards as a community.
Yeah, and I think some of those early calls, you know, these issues aren't going away. So, you know, we saw that initial spike in interest because a lot of charities that are working with people who are experiencing loneliness or working with older people or doing food delivery aren't traditionally embedded in using digital service delivery. I think it's really important to remember that we've seen a huge shift in how some of these charities use digital to get their work done. But actually, we still need to be providing more support in that space because there's lots of people still incredibly isolated because of COVID. There's lots of people still relying on food deliveries across their communities. So for me, I think we still need to kind of keep sight of that. Is that how do we, those people that work in digital, really support some of those organisations to support the most vulnerable in society? And actually, some of the things that have come out of this, you know, it can be as small as, you know, we don't have a digital solution for the 14 drivers that go and deliver food for their rota system. And actually, for those of you listening who work in digital, when you're thinking about how can I offer support, a lot of that back end stuff for those types of charities is actually really, really important. Or how does someone book a food delivery online? What does that look like? How does that tie into someone's systems? And for me, that's one of the things that's really come out is we started this being about digital service delivery, but actually what we're seeing is it's kind of partly front-facing, but partly how do charities organise and manage information and data internally? And that's still a really, really big need. And actually, I think it's probably the area that people are most lacking in when it comes to technology and that skill set that they've got in now.
Yeah.
Another big theme we spoke about, not in the last podcast, but the one before, around accessibility. And again, I think we've been fairly deliberate at weaving this throughout, but just that notion of how do you use digital to ensure that as many people as possible are included, and how do you build accessibility into that? I particularly like, there's a really good blog post from Siobhan, who, if you've been in the calls, you'll have met Siobhan, talking about accessibility and drawing on some of the stuff that's come out of the calls. So if you're interested, that's definitely one that I would go and look at. Obviously, there needs to be a shout out, I think, to Connect in Scotland and all the work that's happening in Scotland at the moment, and how that ties into some of the kind of wider programmes of work across the UK, and particularly things like Reboot from Nominate. There's some really, really good work going on right now around digital participation and how people can be supported. So if you follow, if you follow people like Aaron Slater from SCBO, David McNeil from SCBO, and people like Chris Ashworth at Nominate, so if you follow the three of them on Twitter, you'll see some of that amazing work that's happening right now in terms of digital participation. Any thoughts on those two? So inclusion and accessibility, Amanda?
I think it's really goes back to that the call that we had with Gareth, which for me, Gareth from the BBC, which was a podcast that we did quite recently, was that idea that when we first started that discussion at the beginning of lockdown, accessibility for people seemed to be something that was going to be really difficult and really hard. Whereas actually when we got to that call with Gareth, what Gareth was saying was it's not that difficult and it's not that hard. And to actually think about what does it mean to you as an organisation. So it was that idea that fear has reduced around itself as a topic. So people are becoming to understand it more and understanding what they can do and how they can make their services more accessible. So that suggests to me that people have grown in confidence around it, and that was really encouraging just to hear. So from the calls, people were able to talk about code, or they were certainly able to say, I don't understand what this is, mm-hmm. as opposed to just sitting there not knowing what they don't know. So just that level of confidence around information that's out there was really quite key for me.
And so I guess probably the final theme that's kind of come up time and time again throughout these calls, and it's probably kind of three key areas around risk management, cybersecurity, and safeguarding, but that I guess that umbrella theme of online risks and keeping people safe. And we've covered this quite a lot. The best person to go and follow online for this stuff from SEVO perspective is obviously Alison Stone. She's written some really good blog posts around, you know, everything from like Zoom privacy to how to protect yourself from scams online. Some really good stuff that Alison's written. So if you go and have a look through her blog posts. The DigiSafe Safeguarding Guide for Charities was a really popular call, and I think it's a really needed toolkit. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on DigiSafe or just kind of general kind of key themes that came out of that one.
I think the DigiSafe was the fact that it was in response to lots of charities asking, can we have something? Is there something there? And initially, again, right at the start, we were with us and with yourself at Third Sector Lab and what we were doing at SCVO, we were using real life examples. So I think Bernardo's was always a key that we held up as this is an organisation who's attempting to do a lot of these things safely. And then to actually have a guide for people within that 3 month period was really helpful, because it was listening to what is it that organisations need? What are they hearing from the people that use the service? What do they want? How do we go about this? And it just came at the right time for folk to be able to go, right, this is what we've been asking for, and now it exists. And I think it's, again, just that being able to show as a sector what we can produce really quickly into a really kind of good, high quality standard of information. That's one of the reasons for being in this sector, is we're really good at being able to do that. So kind of all credit to Catalyst for that, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's such a useful guide. Yeah, and people have joined the calls for the last, I can't actually remember how many months we've been doing these now, but, you know, almost 40 calls. And there's still huge concerns about, and rightly so, about beneficiaries' privacy. And I think, you know, we're seeing more toolkits and more guides to help people do that. But I think we still need to see at a senior level, whether it's your board or whether it's your senior management team, a better understanding of cybersecurity and online safeguarding. And actually, I would definitely encourage people, where you don't have that skill set in your board, whether you go and recruit a new board member or you get your board briefed or you get your board to read the small charities guidance from the National Cybersecurity Centre. But actually, cyber needs to be on that board agenda, and it needs to be a regular item. And particularly as charities are going for new pots of funding to deliver new services online, funders and local authorities and NHS are going to be expecting you to show how you're keeping people safe and how you're keeping information safe. And actually, I think we're going to see a lot of charities who are good at that and can display that effectively are going to be the ones who are winning contracts over the ones where there's a lot of grey areas about that level of risk. So even if you don't care about privacy and safeguarding, do it from a business point of view. Any other thoughts on that topic before we finish up?
No, I think you've covered it. Get it on the agenda. Make sure it's there and it's embedded in everything that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. So everything that we're talking about today, as I said, is on the SCVO website. So if you go to scvo.org.uk, you'll find it under the digital tab. If you click through to DigiShift, you'll find lots and lots of resources on remote working, content design, service design, inclusion, accessibility, building communities, risk and security. Yeah, so we've really, really loved doing these calls. Obviously, I mean, the demand for calls is still there. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that's available now. So we've got the DigiShift calls that will be happening monthly. There's some really good how-to guides on the digital section of the SCVO website. Also go and have a look at the Catalyst website. So there's really useful tools in there. So things like the service recipes, DigiSafe, which we've already spoken about on this call. So definitely go and check out the Catalyst and have a look at those. But we'll have the links for those in the podcast description below. If you click on the SCVO events page, you can book up for future DigiShift calls. And that's everything from us in the first season of DigiListen. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to Maddie for joining today, but also John, Alison, Siobhan and Beth and the SCVO team for joining in these podcasts and the calls. And you'll obviously have got familiar with their names and their faces over this last wee while. Anything you want to say before we finish up?
Just thank you to you, thank you to Third Sector Lab for hosting all of these things as well. I think it shows true collaboration, Ross, that we can all work together.
So you can find all the previous podcasts in this series on iTunes, Spotify, most podcast platforms. You can go back and listen to all of those. do please review them, send them on to anyone you think might find them helpful. If you want to connect with us on Twitter and ask us any questions at all, I'm at Third Sector Lab. Maddie, what's your Twitter username?
At Stark Madeleine.
Yep, and you can connect in with the SCVO digital team at DigiScott. Thank you so much for listening to this first season of DigiListen. See you all later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks very much to everybody who made this podcast happen. First of all, the charities who joined us on the call and shared all their wisdom. Secondly, Tech for Good Live podcast crew who brought it all together. And finally, we're part of The Catalyst, which is a UK-wide network supporting charities to make better use of digital.